Oh, man. How do you follow that? As they were talking, two things were running through my mind. Number one was an old song by a group called the Newsboys. Shine, make them wonder what you've got. Make them wish that you were not on the outside looking bored. I love that line, on the outside looking bored. I don't want to be on the outside looking bored. That doesn't appeal to me at all. The second thing is I was thinking, is what a privilege to be able to be a part of a church like this that does these kinds of ministries. And that is exciting to me. It's been a big week this last week. The United States beat Bosnia in the World Cup. You thought I was going to say have a 250th birthday, but that's coming. They beat Bosnia, and they went to the round of 16. And if you think watching soccer is like watching paint dry, hey, you're not alone, but it is fun. But also, we did celebrate the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, and I was thinking this morning it would be good for us to take a look at what God's Word has to say about living as followers of Jesus in the country that we live in. And so I'm going to unashamedly talk about what it means to follow Jesus in the United States of America. The first principle that we really have to look at, and you can see that up there. We got to understand something. Well, what is in the world that we need to understand? Let me just read it to you. It says this in Philippians 3:20. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from there we await a Savior. As followers of Jesus, our first allegiance is to Jesus. He has placed us here in this country out of his grace, and that's a wonderful thing. But my primary allegiance is Jesus. And all through history, people many times have been forced to choose between the temporal authorities and the authority of Jesus Christ. The apostles, they were told, don't speak in the name of Jesus. And how did Peter respond? In Acts 4:32, he says, we must obey God rather than men. Okay. The early believers for the first couple of hundred years of the church, they were required to go into the temple to the emperor once a year and take a pinch of incense and throw it in this little fire, thereby proclaiming that the emperor was God. They refused to do it. And then I think about my great-grandfather, who was kicked out of Norway for starting a house church. And he ended up landing in Chicago. And I'm sure many of us have stories in our backgrounds of our families that talk about the same types of things. But as I think about it, I think, okay, the very best thing I can do for my country is to choose to be a sold-out follower of Jesus Christ. That is the best way to bless my country. That's absolutely true. And I'm excited because we've got so many believers in this country. And if we can embrace that and understand that and step out and live that out, what an incredible difference that could make in the lives of people, seeing Jesus through us. But there's a second thing. And we find that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, which is, and be thankful. And I appreciated what you shared about the showers. I mean, that was good. That was really good. The whole thing. It's so easy for us to whine, isn't it? It's so easy for us to complain and look at this and look at that, and that's wrong and that's not good and all that kind of stuff. And we forget to be thankful. We forget to be thankful for all the things we have been blessed with. Telling you, you got running water in your house and it's hot sometimes, you're living better than the Roman emperor did back in the first century. Tell you that right now. And I think about that. I think about all the different ways that, and I'm just thinking of my family and how we were blessed and how God blessed us through things that were happening in this country. As I mentioned, my great-grandfather ended up in Chicago where he became a street preacher and started a house church in Chicago. Guess what? Nobody kicked him out of Chicago for that. My father, who was born in Chicago, grew up on the north side of Chicago. His family was very poor. He talked about digging food out of garbage dumpsters and garbage cans, engaged in petty crime on the north side of Chicago, eventually got involved with the mob and in Chicago as what was called a runner, where basically he would deliver messages to people, and that was sort of his job, and he was getting involved in that whole world. If you've ever seen the movie Goodfellas, it's a little bit like that. That's what was going on in his life, and his father decided to move them to North St. Paul, and there's some amazing things happen because they were here. First of all, he started going to a Sunday school. And in that Sunday school, they had a Sunday school teacher who was a very wealthy man. He had done very well in business. And he laid out a challenge for everybody. He said, here's the deal. I got a list of 150 Bible verses. If you learn all 150 Bible verses, I'll give you a typewriter. Okay? And actually, that's not the typewriter my dad got, but it looks a lot like it. I threw that up there because some people might say, typewriter, what is that? I don't even know what that is anymore. Okay, point out, that's basically what the thing looked like. And I asked him about that. I said, you know, what was that like learning all those 150 verses? He said, oh, that wasn't hard. He said, I really didn't care about the Bible verses, but I really wanted a typewriter. And so he got this typewriter. But in the process of learning those 150 verses, he came to Jesus. Because a man who had the resources to buy a bunch of high school kids' typewriters did it. And that says a lot about the place where we live. In addition to that, he was going to high school at North St. Paul High School. Now, his father had some health issues, so my dad many times had to skip school and help his father with his work. And he wasn't going to graduate because he didn't have enough hours to graduate. The principal of North St. Paul High School in the 1940s chose to stay after school with my dad when he was in school and tutor him and teach him so that he would get enough time in the school so that he could graduate. Hey, who does that? Well, he did. And here we have somebody who cared enough about his students to make that kind of sacrifice. And you say, well, doesn't that happen all over the world? Answer, I've lived all over the world. No, it doesn't. But it did there in North St. Paul. And my dad went on, went to college, went to medical school, became a doctor, worked at the Mayo Clinic, developed a process for treating ovarian cancer using lasers along with a laser technician that is now used all over the world, okay? And I asked him one day, I said, you know, if you couldn't have been a doctor, what would you have been? He says, I would have been a criminal. He said, and I would have been a good one. Knowing him, he would have, you know? Bottom line is, two men, both Americans, chose to look for opportunities to make a difference in the lives of people. And because they were here where there were so many opportunities, they made a difference. Actually changed the trajectory of my family. And this is just one family. Sometimes we talk about, you know, what's important about America, and we talk about freedom, and that's not a bad thing. Although, that's not a bad thing. Of course it's not a bad thing. But C.S. Lewis made this comment about freedom. He said, freedom is not the ability to do what we want. Freedom is the ability to do what we ought. And those are two very different things. And we have so many opportunities here to do what we ought. And that's a marvelous, marvelous thing. Now, there's a whole list of things that we were going to talk about this morning. And I'm not going to talk about these things on this card. I want to go a different direction on this. You got the card. You know, if you want to look at those things, grab a couple of friends and do some Bible studies and just look at the verses and ask three questions. What does it say? What does it mean? And how do I apply it? You'll have a great time. You really, really will. But something happened this week that God used just to get me thinking. And I want to take us to a totally different verse. It's actually found in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 5. Where it says this, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. This particular translation of the Bible, ESV, translates that as making the best use of the time. If you're still using a King James Version, which not a lot of people use these days because it's old school English, it would say redeeming the time. If you look at the New International Version, it says making the most of every opportunity. And we have so many opportunities because of where we live. And many times we miss them. Maybe because we're focused on getting what I can for myself, maybe because we just don't think about it. And yet the opportunities that we have to do good, to make a difference for the kingdom of God, are absolutely enormous. And the reason that I'm going here, I got to tell you about something that happened to me this week. It was one of those God moments. You guys are talking about God moments. I had one this week. We got back from camping, and I was mowing my lawn on Thursday morning, and a couple of middle school boys rode up into my yard. And I thought, oh, what's this? What are they selling? And they came up, and they said, would you like us to mow your lawn for you for maybe a few dollars? And I go, yeah, that's great. Let's do it. And they did. I mean, they worked really hard. They mowed my lawn, and I gave them some money, and everybody's happy. But I thought, here they are. They're out looking for opportunities. They're out looking for opportunities to make a difference. Now, in their case, it involved earning some money, which I don't think was a bad thing because, after all, they were middle school boys and they could have been sitting at home staring at their phones. I mean, that could have been happening. They weren't doing that. They were out there, and it was actually kind of cute because when I told them they could do it, they said, we got another lawnmower. We'll go get it. And they rode off in their bikes, and they came back on a four-wheeler dragging a lawnmower like a trailer. I mean, it was really funny, you know. But as they were working, and then I was working on other stuff, I was thinking, the Lord was like saying, are you looking for opportunities the way these boys are looking for opportunities? Because we have so many. And they take such a wide variety of forms. And I appreciated hearing about the opportunities to go to Detroit and to go to Rock Ridge this morning. And that was awesome. And I noticed with the Detroit, both Miranda and, I'm sorry, I forgot your name, but that's okay. Don't worry about it. I'll get it right sooner or later. They both talked about it being awkward. And yeah, sometimes reaching out for that opportunity is awkward. But you know what? Awkward is awesome. Because it brings us to a new relationship with Jesus Christ. With both of those. And also, we heard about an opportunity next week to be part of a team that will go to the soup kitchen in Brainerd and make a difference in the lives of people in the name of Jesus by feeding people. And I just want to encourage you to take advantage of that, there's the word, opportunity. In other words, redeem the time. Make best use of the time. And again, you can do that by going online and filling something out. I'm not very good at that. Or just put it on that card and somebody will get back to you. Talk to Amy Labar and she can fill you in on that type of thing. Bottom line is we can truly make a difference. What I've discovered about celebrations is that many times the biggest focus of the celebration is consumption. And Jesus calls us to be servants. And Jesus calls us to step out, step into the awkward, and make a difference in the life of a person. Kind of like this businessman who bought typewriters and a high school principal who stayed after school. Principals aren't supposed to stay after school. Bad kids are supposed to stay after school. But he did. I think about Ann, who every 2 weeks drove up to our school from Park Rapids and tutored students so they could get their GEDs. Every 2 weeks she would do that. Or Mitch, who goes into the Bemidji jail once a week and leads a Bible study. And Mitch can walk in, and Mitch has a little jail time behind him. He said he got back from Vietnam, and 36 hours later, he was in jail. So he knows whereof he speaks. Taking those opportunities to truly make a difference. know, Jesus said something really interesting. Luke chapter 12, verse 48, and I'd like to read that if I could. He said this. Here we go. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. From him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. As if you've been given much, much is going to be expected. And we have been given enormous opportunities to make a difference in people's lives. And I'd like to invite you this next year, given where we live, to step out and look for those opportunities. Now, I'll tell you, it isn't easy, and we don't always succeed. I failed this morning on my way down to Nisswa from Bemidji. I come down from Bemidji on Sunday mornings, and I was driving through the Leech Lake Reservation, and there were people walking. Normally, I pick people up. But today, you know, I don't even know why I didn't pick them up. I just think there's a lot of traffic, and I'm going to be late, and blah, 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 blah. I wasn't late. I was early, you know, just excuses. But to make a difference, what could that have, and it would have given me an opportunity to at least try to talk about Jesus, you know. That would have been a good thing. And you know, we can all look back and say, hey, you know, maybe I missed that opportunity. But you know what? There's another one coming. And I want to leave you with one last thing. Jesus was asked how to become great in the kingdom of God. You know what he said? The one who wants to be great in the kingdom of God, become a servant. Become a servant of all. Which means looking for the opportunities that were handed because of where we live to make a difference in the lives of people. One other thing I noticed about that Ephesians 5 passage, it talks about the days being evil. And many times we think that, you know, if the days are evil, and there are some very evil things in the world, and there are some evil things in our country, that is true. All of that is true, but we say, well, we got to fight them. And how did the Apostle Paul say to overcome evil? Overcome evil with good. What does good look like? It means taking the opportunity to serve people in the name of Jesus and making a difference in their lives. That's what it means. My wife had an experience when we were in Austria. Christians got a lot of bad press in Europe. Anything stupid happens over here, bam, it hits the news. And she was talking to somebody, and she was sharing her testimony with them. She said, so you're one of those Christians? And she said, yeah. She said, I'm having a hard time believing that. And they go, why? And the response was, because you're not like those people I see on the news. Wouldn't that be cool? If in this next year, as we serve people, as we look for opportunities to serve people, we live in such a way that people say, you know, I hear all the stereotypes and all that kind of stuff, but you aren't like that. Why are you not like that? And the answer is real simple. Because while I live here, I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, I'm going to follow Jesus and bless as many people as I can with the opportunities that I have. Some food for thought today. Here's what I'd like to do. As the worship team comes up, I'd like to take some time and pray, like we always do, and just basically ask God, God, based on everything I just heard, what would you like me to do this next week? And I'm going to add this next week. What would you like me to do? And then listen to him and see what he says. Let's do that. Let's do it right now. Lord God, I can't thank you enough for allowing us to live where we live. Thank you for blessing us in this way. Thank you for giving us the resources and the opportunities to truly make a difference in the lives of other people, and help us to make the most of those opportunities. Big things, small things, really doesn't matter as long as it's your things. Just help us in that area. Help us to be people who bring goodness and blessing and kindness to those around us. And in doing so, we allow people to see you in us. Help us, please. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the difference this church has made in this area over the years. Thank you for what's going to happen in this next year. And I want to pray that next July 4th weekend, we'll be talking about all the amazing things that you did through us, large and small. And I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, it's Paul.